wonderful introduction. Hey, everybody, my name's Jordan. I'm definitely an alcoholic. And I'm going to apologize for two things right now. One, I am battling a cold, so I might sound a little bit funny, or have to stop and wipe my nose. And then two, I have children, who are being supervised right now, but they might pop in here and I might have to shoo them away, but they're loved. Well, typically we're going to tell you, or I'm going to tell you, well, sorry if I can get my phone to stay put. I'm going to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. So yeah, let's just get into it. I grew up with one brother, and he's younger than I am. I had two parents up until the age of 12 in my life. I realized today that my parents did the best they could with what they had to work with. But I couldn't say that a few years ago. You know, after being in this program for a while, I realized that today that they did the best they could with what they had. But my mom and I never really got along. I guess we're too much alike. So growing up, my brother became the prize child, and he was, you know, able to do whatever he wanted when he wanted and got away with it. And my needs kind of got put on the back burner. And you know, that kind of just made me want to rebel, and I became a problem child. I wasn't getting in any, you know, trouble legally or anything like that young. But I rebelled. And you know, my brother got started playing traveling baseball, and you know, kind of made that a priority in our family. To make sure that he went on to bigger and better things. And that caused a lot of issues at home. I was kind of drug around from baseball game to baseball game. And I obviously still hold a resentment against it because I'm talking about it now. But, you know, it's just a big part of my life, where I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And that's a selfishness in me. And I was very selfish from a very young age. And when I was, I don't even know how old I was, like 5 or 6 years old, I actually stole money from my aunt or my cousin, and my aunt called the cops on me, because it was her milk money. So I was a liar, cheat, and a thief right off the rip. And you know, I look back on it, and you know, I could say these things about the way I was, because I am making those corrections today. So moving on, because of the way that I was basically treated in my family, I started looking for, you know, people that I fit in with or I got along with. And they weren't always the greatest of people. I mean, they were great people just making bad decisions. And I started making those bad decisions. So when I was 11 years old, I was hanging out with a friend, and she invited a boy over, and I was, like I said, 11 years old, and he took advantage of me. And after that's when I found alcohol, because my girlfriend was doing it. And I didn't want to, she said, this is how you get rid of that pain. And, you know, I didn't realize it was pain at the time because I just felt off, and I didn't know what to do because I knew these things happened in the real world. I just didn't know at such a young age, you know, this would happen. And I think that's why, you know, when she said it would take away the pain, I just wanted to not remember what happened. And after taking that first sip of alcohol, felt like I had finally fit in somewhere because they were drinking. I wanted to drink because they were, not really peer pressuring me into it, but, heavily suggesting that it's not going to hurt anymore. I kind of stuck with that. I found these crowds of people who were doing what I was doing, and I couldn't drink at home because my parents didn't keep any alcohol in the house. They had what they called driveway parties where they sit out in the driveway and smoke that funny green stuff. But I never got my hands on any of that till I was in older years. So yeah, I was assaulted when I was 11 years old, and when I was 13, or when I was 12, my parents got divorced, and right after that, I had attempted to commit suicide because I thought my parents divorcing was my fault because I found pictures of my dad cheating on my mom on our computer, and I showed my mom. So because of the, alcohol mixed with those feelings, I tried to commit suicide, and I was not successful. I just my mom saw what I was doing, and she took me to the hospital right away, and they put me into an inpatient program. So that's where my journey with mental health started as well. But when I was 13, I was released from the hospital. I went back to doing what I was doing, the same way that it was before I got locked away. Sorry, I'm getting distracted because kids are being noisy out there, so I'm jumping all over the place. But I got back into what I was doing, and I got into this group of people in junior high school who were self-harming, and because they were, doing that, I had to do it too because I wanted to fit in anywhere I possibly could, and they were drinking as well. And because they drank like I drank, we became instant friends. During that time, other forms of alcohol were introduced into my journey, but I did not partake in those other forms of alcohol till much later on in life. But they were around, and I had the opportunity to do, but I always told myself that I was never going to, subject myself to that kind of lifestyle. I mean, I still ended there anyway, but this disease has a way of controlling our minds and our thinkings, and just, I never thought I would go there. Just looking back on it now, I never thought in a million years I would go there. But I did in the long run. But back to current, my dad left. He got remarried. I didn't speak to him for, oh God, I don't even know how long. Because his new wife was kind of a, you know what, and she was a lot younger than he was, and she was very set in her ways. So we just didn't talk for the longest time. But in high school, things went on that way for a while, where I just kept doing what I was doing. Then when I was in high school, I stopped hanging out with, well, we moved, I moved schools because my mom moved, and I stopped looking for the kind of people that drank. Instead, I kind of went in to fit in with the outcasts. I was a band geek. I played in the marching band. I didn't drink for a while, and I don't know why. But in my junior year, I joined a culinary school that was part of the high school. It was a vocational school, and I got into culinary pretty hard. And in my senior year of high school, we were supposed to go to culinary competition. And one thing I forgot to mention is when I was 11 years old, that friend that I had started drinking with, she had started me on smoking cigarettes. So in my senior year of high school, I wore my grandmother's jacket to school one day, and it had a pack of her cigarettes in it. And I didn't realize it until, I was at the vocational school doing my culinary stuff, and then somebody asked if I had a cigarette, and I started patting the pockets, and I'm like, "Oh, hey, I do have one." So I pulled out a cigarette, handed it to her in the middle of the hallway, and got back to my high school, and the resource officer was at the front door escorting me to his office saying, "Do you have any cigarettes on you?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." And he's like, "Well, open up your pocket. Somebody saw you giving another student a cigarette." So I opened the pocket, and of course there were cigarettes, and I try to play it off. "Oh, like, sir, this is my grandmother's coat. I didn't know they were in there." And I got suspended from school. Long story short, I got suspended from school. So I couldn't do the culinary competition that I wanted to do. I got suspended. I got suspended from the other school as well. So that kind of put me in a downward spiral, that led me back out to drinking. I started working at a amusement park hotel, or a hotel that was right by the amusement park. And I met a guy, and I was still in high school, and he drank like I drank. And I would go to work, get off work, and go hang out with this guy. And I was 16 years old at the time, and he was 29. So he could get what I wanted him to get, and he could do it legally. And it was just a good relationship to begin with, because he had what I wanted, and I could offer myself to him in exchange. So something I'm not proud of, but it's what I did. So I got with this guy. I graduated high school by the teeth of my the skin of my teeth, and I got with this guy. I left home when I was 17, to move in with this guy. He lived in his parents' basement, so that's just a wonderful situation to begin with. And I'm sorry guys, my nose is really stuffy. But I got with this guy, and moved in with him. And then shortly after I moved in with him, I found out I was pregnant with my first child, my son, who is now 14. And I'll talk about him in just a little bit. So I got pregnant, and this guy didn't want to have any more kids because he already had, I think at that time, he already had four kids. And he didn't want any more kids. So he tried to get me to have an abortion, and I told him no, that I would never do that. So went through with the pregnancy. We had our issues throughout the pregnancy. I wasn't drinking or using any drugs at the time. But when I had my son, I had him via C-section, and afterwards they prescribe you pain medication for, the healing process. So that's kind of where my addiction journey with drugs started. I didn't get hooked on those right away. It's just part of my story. So then we move into a different city, and we get our own house, and my son was born, and things kind of went on, without alcohol for a while after the surgery and stuff. But shortly after my son was like 3 or 4 months old, I started noticing differences in him. That meeting milestones and just started noticing stuff, something was off. But I tried to like not pay attention to it because I was a first time mom. I didn't know what I was doing. And I would then go like put him down to bed, bring the baby monitor out to the garage where my husband or yeah, my husband was at, or he wasn't my husband at the time. But he was out in the garage and I would go out there and start drinking with him again. And he was a big fan of the Funny Green stuff and he got me to try it. And I didn't like it too much, to be honest, but I just wanted to do it because that's what he was doing. I've always been a follower, not a leader. And I see that pattern today. So I get pregnant with my second child, my daughter, and I have another C-section after she's born. And again, they prescribed the pain medication. And then I decided that I wanted to go back to school. So once I was healed and stuff, I signed up to go to community college. And because, all through basically elementary school through high school, I was on a stimulant medication for attention deficit disorder. I got put back on that and I started to be using that. I was able to stay up nights, weekends, whenever I needed to stay up, during the day, anytime. And I got addicted to it. And then I started having issues with my husband, and we physically fought multiple times. The police wanted to press charges on both of us because it was that many times. So I decided to leave. And when I left, I got with another man because I'm very codependent. I realized that today as well. But I'm very codependent and I got with this other man and I immediately got pregnant again. And this is where my story with drugs take off more. After I had my third daughter, I was again prescribed those pain medication. And things got out of hand pretty quick after that. Because if I couldn't get it prescribed, I was finding it on the street. And I was getting actual prescribed medication out the street for a while. And then it became to the point where I didn't care what it was, prescribed or not, I wanted it. So yeah, I married the man that I left my ex-husband for, and we started having issues because I found out that he was cheating on me with multiple different women at different times, and it became, I wanted to numb. I wanted to numb everything. I didn't want to feel. I didn't want to care. I just didn't want to be. I wasn't suicidal, but I just didn't want to be anymore. So things went on like that for a while. I was drinking. I was finding the pain medication whenever I could. And then I got pregnant again. And I was sober for the first part of that pregnancy. And I'm not proud to say this, but for the second half of the pregnancy, I was using pain medication. And I was getting it prescribed from a doctor because I had had three C-sections prior. And she knew that I was in pain. Or, I told her that I was in pain and she believed me type deal. So, 1 second, you guys. I'm gonna yell at the kids. Okay, sorry about that. They're being too loud, so. But yeah, I got this doctor to believe me that I was in too much pain, and she kept prescribing stuff for the second half of my pregnancy until I delivered. Then she upped my dosage of pain medication because I was already on, a low dose during pregnancy, and then I had surgery, and then she upped it so that, I could get some pain relief. Well, upping it just sent me into more of a downward spiral, and that's kind of where my addiction really took off. My current husband was still messing around and not being faithful, and I knew it. I just didn't want to believe it. Again, I just wanted to know. I didn't want to be. I wasn't, being a great mom to my kids. My older two kids, I didn't get to see for quite a few years, because I kind of gave. I didn't really give my rights away, but I left them with my ex-husband when I left because I wanted to go do me. I wanted to be me for a while. In all reality, I didn't know who I was, so I was just pretending to be whoever I wanted to be. Well, I had my fourth daughter, and she is my youngest, and I'm done having kids. Just throwing that out there. Kind of reminded myself as well, because I've had baby fever the last few weeks because everybody's having babies out here. I met a couple of friends. I was fitting in with the wrong crowd again, and found somebody when I couldn't find what I wanted on the street. This guy came up to me and said, "Hey, I have something else. Why don't you try this?" Well, I did try it, and I got hooked on it. Like, immediately, I got hooked on it. And from there, I went down very, 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 very fast. Within 6 months, I was still mixed up in the wrong crowd. And I did some bad things. I got some legal trouble. And this was my first time ever really in trouble with the law. So I got two charges. One was a possession charge, and one was a charge for passing bad checks. 2 counts of it. And oh my goodness, these kids! I just can't even tell you right now. I don't know if you can hear them or not, but they're driving me insane. So I got in trouble with the checks, and by February of 2021, February 8, 2021, I went to court. And before I saw the judge, he wanted to drug test me, and I knew I couldn't pass it. So I'm sitting in the office, telling him I don't have to go, I don't have to go. And they're like, "Well, you're going to sit here until you actually go." So they gave me a cup of water to drink. And they waited for me to go, and I couldn't pass. So the judge was like, "Well, you're going to go sit in jail for a week. And then you're going to come back in front of me, and we'll discuss your sentencing." So I sat in jail for a week, and I'll tell you what, that was probably one of the most horrific things I've ever been through, was detoxing in jail. And that detox lasted almost a whole month. But I went back in front of the judge after a week, and he sentenced me to 6 months in jail, which was the maximum you could get on the charge that I had. And so I sat in jail for 6 months, and then in May of 2021, I went before the felony judge for my possession charge, and he told me that I was gonna sit in jail for time after my 6 month sentence until a bed opened up in treatment for me to go to treatment, and he sentenced me to AA. So I did a total of 6.5 months in jail, and they didn't have any AA meetings when I was in jail because of COVID. And when I finally got to treatment, the first night that I was there, I went to a Westside Agnostic meeting based out of Cleveland. And that was my first ever AA meeting. And they, when they asked if anybody was new, the whole treatment room looked at me and said, "You have to raise your hand." So I raised my hand. And they're like, "Well, you have to say you're an alcoholic." I'm like, "Well, I'm not an alcoholic. I never had a problem with alcohol. You know, I just had a problem with drugs." They're like, "Okay, so why don't you say you're an addict?" So I said I was an addict, and then everybody started clapping and cheering, and I'm like, "What is this, happening right now?" And today I understand they were clapping because I finally admitted something, that I was powerless over something. And I learned later on in treatment that I wasn't a true alcoholic and not just an addict. And that's why I introduced myself as an alcoholic today, because alcohol is where it started. Alcohol was always there, no matter what I did. So, I got out of treatment in November of 2021, and I went directly into sober living, which I'm still in sober living today, which is why you hear all the kids, because I live with another woman and her kids. And I got to sober living, and I started going to AA meetings outside and on Zoom. And unfortunately, one of my Zoom home groups just had to close down because we weren't getting enough help. And it was a Lakewood Freethinker based out of Lakewood, Ohio. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but it was a really great meeting, and met some really great people when I was there. And that's where I met Helena, which I'm so grateful that I have met Helena. Helena's been a big supporter of mine through all this. So getting back to talking about my son real quick. My son is 14, and in December of 2022, he was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And that was probably one of the hardest things I've had to do in sobriety, was hear that my son had cancer. And I'll tell you what, AA shows up, man. AA shows up exactly when he needs them to show up, because that night I just wanted to numb and not feel, and not have to deal with the pain of having a child with cancer. And it was rough, but the first person who answered their phone at 3 o'clock in the morning was a member of AA. And just really grateful for that person. And ever since then, AA has been my rock. I'm not going to talk too much longer, you guys, because my nose is really starting to bug me, but just know that today, what I do to stay sober is I read the big book. I read the 12 and 12. I have a AA big book dictionary that I use quite frequently. I go to meetings. I try to be of service when I'm asked. I secretary one of my in-person home groups, and I'm at in service in any way, shape, or form I can be in my other home group. And I try to help the new person whenever I possibly can. I do a lot of stuff today, and then taking care of my son and my two other daughters that I have in my custody. And I'm still with, the guy. One thing I forgot to mention too is my current husband, my youngest two's father. We had both used together of this certain drug, and he was coming down one day, and he beat the ever living crap out of me, so he got a domestic violence charge. And that was rough. So there's a lot of PTSD in our relationship, but today we are trying to make it work. He is working a program, I am working a program, We have a similar support group, but we have our own support groups at the same time. It's a lot to work through though. Like my mental health, I'm still getting outside help today. Yeah, so there's a lot to work through, a lot of PTSD. I mean, throughout my, using and childhood and everything that there's been a lot of traumas. But today I am fairly happy. I go to as many meetings as I possibly can. So thank you all for having me here today. This has been a wonderful experience. Speaking for you guys, and I know I've missed quite a few details of, events leading up to where I'm at today, but I don't want to speak too long. And if you're new, just stay. It's easier to just stay. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, so work it because you're worth it. And I think with that, guys, I am all done. I pass.